Saints teach us that in the battle, when you're trying to control your thoughts against sins of lust of the thought, you don't fight, you run. Now, before we get into the tactics for fighting off these specific spiritual battles that we go through every single day as a man, I want to go through and show you or discuss with you what is considered a sin, what is considered a venial sin, what is considered a mortal sin when it comes to sins of the thought. So for example, I'm at Mass, I'm praying, and all of a sudden these sexual thoughts might pop into your head and you might not even ever look at sexual things. But the devil has the power, the ability to influence our thoughts. So he might just put those pops in there, right, to try and distract us. And that's unintentional. Or maybe you're at Mass and somebody's dressed immodestly, which happens more often than not, unfortunately. Or maybe you're watching television and you think you're watching something, you know, something wholesome, or you're trying to watch the news or you're watching some sports program and then there's a commercial and there's women in their underwear or in their bathing suit, and or you're watching sports and then they have women's volleyball or something, you know, something where immodesty prevails and it just pops in there, and that's unintentional. So there's three different situations where there might be unintentional sexual ideas popping in your head. So we're going to work on unintentional, and then our sin depends on the level of our consent. So if it's an unintentional occasion and I consent not at all, so there I am, I'm praying, and then the thought pops in, and then the second this thought pops in, I try to fight it and I say, no, precious blood wash over me, this is a child of God, I do not want to look upon a child of God as an object of pleasure. All right, no way, that's not for me. And so I fight it right away. If there is a girl dressed immodestly, and the second I see, I perceive her immodesty, I guard my eyes. I shield my eyes. That's my guardian angel. Guardian angel, please shield my eyes from this immodest dress. Precious blood, wash over me and purify my heart so that I may look upon your daughter as a child of God that she really is, even though she's not dressed this way. Or maybe you're at Mass and then the thought pops in your head, or maybe you're watching television and the image comes on the screen, and you don't consent. You say, no, I'm not going to do this. I am fighting it. All right, if there's no consent, there's no sin, all right? None at all. Now, that's the first, so one, the first example is unintentional occasion, there's no consent. Second one, unintentional occasion, and there's some consent, you toy with the idea a little bit, and then you say, no, this is wrong. This is not right. This is bad. So you're there, you see some girl in her bathing suit or something because she's dressed immodestly or whatever, and the second you're like, whoa, wow, and then you say, oh, no, this is bad. And then you stop. You change your thoughts. You redirect your focus. You do whatever you're going to do. You run away from the occasion. Whatever the situation is. Let's just say you toy with the idea for a moment and you say, no. Or a thought pops in your head and you're like, wow. And you're like, no. And you block it out after that. Well, because there's some consent. There's that apprehension. And you're kind of like debating it a little bit. Well, that little debate, that toying with the idea for a little bit, just for a moment, and then you fight it away. Well, that's a venial sin. Because you know that it's not good. You know it's going to light you up, man. You know it. But still, you're like, well, is this? No. Okay, that's a venial sin. All right, and then finally, the third level is unintentional. You're not doing anything on purpose. And all of a sudden, this pornographic page pops on your email. Or you're, you know, just hanging out and thought the idea pops into your head. You know, whatever. And then you give full consent. You say, whoa. Oh my, oh yeah, baby, bring it on. Let's get busy with these thoughts. Okay, let's get busy with these pictures. All right. Well, that is a mortal sin. When you say, let's do it, and you totally indulge in this near occasion of sin. Now, those are the three levels for unintentional. Now, if you intentionally seek this out, that is a mortal sin. If you say, okay, I'm feeling very itchy. Let me go and look at some naked pictures. Or, oh, let me go and check out the babes. All right. Well, this is what we have to remember, that our sexual passions and all sexual pleasure, all the passions are reserved for one state of life only, and that is the sacrament of matrimony. Our sexuality is intended for the sacrament of matrimony only. And so if we do anything, if we think anything, if we say anything with the intention of inciting these sexual passions in another person, ladies, if this is your intention, you've committed a mortal sin. Oh man, that's so terrible. But remember, in order for something to be mortal, of course it's grave matter because that has to do with our sexuality. That's like the very nature of what it means to be a human being. So it has to be grave matter done knowingly and willingly. If you didn't know up to this point, okay, now you know. No excuses anymore. We're going to fight the good fight. All right, also, let's. This applies to everything. It doesn't just apply to my thoughts. if let's say, like for kisses, for example, if you cannot take pleasure in the sexual passions or in the passionate pleasures that are reserved for the sacrament of matrimony, so that means no passionate kissing, no passionate rubbing, no passionate touching. Why? Because the passions are reserved for the sacrament of matrimony. They're reserved for your spouse. It's not okay for heavy petting. It's not okay for... And you're getting yourself all worked up. Knowingly and willingly working yourself up is a grave sin. Now, let's say you're just there with your girlfriend and you're holding hands. Oh, my girlfriend, so beautiful. And then she kisses you on the cheek and then you give her a hug. And then you say, I just love you so much. But then all of a sudden, and your intentions are so pure. I just love you. I just want to hug you. Oh, baby, I love you so much. And then you start saying, whoa, I'm getting kind of, yeah, right? And then what do? You say, okay, well, I love you. Okay, goodbye. And then you let go. Now, if you say, oh, yes, this is feeling kind of nice. Let me rub my body more. Well, when you're having to think about it, when you like toy with the idea, well, of course, the same thing, venial sin. And then you say, oh, yeah, I want to try and get as much love. Rubs as I can before she lets go of me, so then that is a mortal sin because you're trying intentionally to get it. Alright, and you're consenting to this pleasure. So you have to have this discussion, and women must know that men are different from women. That's just the way it is. There, and you'll see that our difficulty is struggling to fight purity. The difficulty that women have is going to be a fight to be a source of grace and to be pure for other people, to dress purely. Because you'll see, when we get into immodesty, you will never have seen a woman fight so hard and fight so fiercely and put up every argument possible as it is for her to dress modestly. They just can't let go of their clothes for some reason. It's amazing. Like, you'd think that you told them that they could not drink water anymore with the fight that they're going to put up when we talk about modesty. All right. Well, God bless you and God love you. Now let's discuss for a moment different tactics that we can use when these thoughts come into our mind, when these ideas pop in and we can't fight them, or we're trying to fight them, or what do we do? What do we do? All right, there's a devotion that you must know. You must use this. This will work, I guarantee you. It's called the Three Hail Marys. Every morning you pray three Hail Marys. The first one, you offer it and you think of the Father, God the Father. The second one, you offer it and you think of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity. And the third one, the Holy Spirit. And you offer all of these in thanksgiving for the graces that they've given us to give us so great a powerful and pure mother. So those three, you pray the three Hail Marys, and then you say, Mary, I offer you these three Hail Marys out of a desire for purity and for you to keep me out of mortal sin this day. And then, and midday, whenever it's time for your transition, like some people go to school in the morning, they go to work, well, when it's time to come home, right before you go home, you pray the three Hail Marys again. The same thing, with the same intention, for purity and to keep me out of mortal sin. This will work. This will prevail. I promise. Do it. Do it. Do it. And then if for some reason you're feeling tempted, do it again. To the three Hail Marys, for purity and to keep me out of mortal sin, do it whenever you're tempted. Mary will help you. We have to remember that Mary is the most beautiful of all the women. She was the most attractive of all the women. She's the most perfect of God's creatures. Wow, can you imagine how beautiful she must have been? Now, if we're lusting over a girl who's not the most perfect of God's creatures, how much more would we be guilty of committing lust over the Blessed Mother? And no, we don't want to do that, because the Blessed Mother, all of us, all these women, have the same, the dignity of the Blessed Mother is reflected in their dignity. Wow, amazing. Now, another thing, we need to redirect our thoughts. So another good prayer, if you don't have time for this three Hail Marys because you're just running out of time, is precious blood wash over me. Sometimes the devil will come and attack you with these thoughts, right? Or he'll play toys with your memory, recalling things that you might have looked at in the past in a previous life, and by that I mean like previous confessions, when you weren't converted. And he'll try to bring this back to you because he knows that if he can get you to incite your passions, he can get you down and wrestle you to the ground, right? Commit solitary sin. So we say, precious blood wash over me and cleanse me and purify my heart so that I may love with a real heart. And what will happen is that the precious blood of Christ that was poured out on the cross, that is what defeats Satan. So Satan will flee from this when you say the precious blood wash over me. Also, we need to redirect our thoughts and think of something beautiful. Don't dwell on the idea of this temptation, because if you do, he'll just use that to toy with your emotions. So think of something beautiful. Think of a blue sky. Think of the mountains. Think of the creation of the world. Think of all these wonderful things. Or some people like to think of the torments of hell, which, you know, every once in a while that doesn't hurt to do. If you imagine your flesh being ripped open and being peeled off with a potato peel or something nasty like that. Also, do something else. So if you're tempted and you're sitting down at your computer, get up, go to the kitchen, get some water. Go to the outside, go play basketball, go run around. You might think that the temptation is going to overcome you, but once you go and redirect your thoughts, you'll be fresh. You'll be ready to go again. It won't kill you not to give in to your temptations. In fact, it will set you free. You'll be fully alive. All right, we need to overcome these. We need to have the habit of fighting it. As long as we don't give in without a fight, and if we fall, and by fight I mean by running away, and when if you fall, you get up, you go to the sacrament of confession, and you come back strong. It's like we're fighting a bully. And you just keep getting back up and getting back up and getting back up and getting back up. And eventually, there's nothing more terrifying to that bully than to see a bloody little guy get back up and keep on fighting, keep on fighting. And when you knock that bully down once and for all, he'll stay down. But you don't ever let your guard down just in case he gets back up and attacks you. All right, may Almighty God bless us all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.